Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Dave, Matt, and Vito here with you today. And gentlemen, how are we doing? How are we feeling?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Did you know at the time of recording, we're about 10 days since the Canadians have been eliminated from the playoffs and there's been no
Canadians? It feels like it's been an eternity.
It does, doesn't it? It does.
It feels like it's been, no joke, all summer has passed already. Like
I was wondering what it was. Waking up each day, everything was a little bit more dull, you know? Colors not as bright. It's brutal. It's brutal out there. That said, obviously I'm joking because there's a lot to be excited about in the world of the Canadians. But before we get to that, obviously there is hockey still being played. And so the NHL playoffs are proceeding. What I wanted to ask you guys was, so far, and you can really pick anything. You can talk about the team in general or a player in particular if you like. But what is the biggest surprise of the playoffs so far, in your opinion? And what is the least surprising thing that is happening in the playoffs so far? Vito, what do you think?
I don't think there's been the least surprising.
There's one. It's a dead giveaway. The least surprising.
Oh, that Washington was eliminated and swept
the floor. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. There you go.
They had no business being there to begin with. I mean, I look at Washington and the fact that they made it into the playoffs with the stat line that they had, and then you look at a team like Detroit, who was far more deserving to have for that playoff spot, and they don't even have a chance. I mean, that's parity in the NHL, I guess, and that's just the rules. That is what it is. Washington being swept, we pretty much all predicted it, with the exception of Dave predicting that it would go to 5 games. Okay, Dave, you gave Washington the benefit of the doubt.
I thought they'd steal one. Oh, we could have a game.
Not when their best player has 0 points in 4 games and only 5 shots.
Oh, that's it. I didn't know that.
I thought that was a gimme. Should put money on that one.
I guess if you want to say the biggest surprise, I mean, I thought Toronto would fare a little better than they are right now against Boston.
Fool me once, fool me twice. How many times you got to be fooled?
When you look at that team's defense and their goaltending, they're just it's not good. They need work. That organization and that team needs to be far more balanced than they are. And Samsonov's just not the guy. I guess also I'll put one other one there and then I'll stop. But I think I could put Dallas in the pretenders category now. Dallas to me is the pretenders. You know, going into this, you're like, okay, maybe they're going to give Vegas a challenge. It's going to be a bit tough for them. And it's just another year where they get to the playoffs and they look like on paper they're one of the stronger teams there. But, you know, especially with Ottinger being there, the defense that they have, the forward core that they have, and they just can't seem to get it together. That would probably be my little playoff thing.
Yeah, they got jobbed on the matchup. I mean, Vegas is a beast in the playoffs. And I think that if they were playing anybody else, I think they probably would have just a little bit more chance. My biggest surprise would be maybe Hellebuck in Winnipeg, just how much of a disaster he's been. I predicted Colorado to win the series, but it's same. Still just like mm-hmm. it's shocking how
I predicted Winnipeg.
Not great they are. I'm pleasantly surprised at Vancouver. I thought they would be. Yep. I there's still room for error. Don't get me wrong, because there was 2 comeback wins, so they're not as if they're playing very, very well. I mean,
they're playing with a fourth string goalie now,
yeah,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It could have easily swung the other way. So I'm still kind of waiting a little bit and anticipating that something goes wrong. Other than that, I mean, hasn't been many surprises. I mean, the Leaf Boston thing. I mean, if you're paying attention, the Leafs are just. I thought there was a chance to do it, so I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it does not surprise me in the least. This team was one of the worst teams they've had in the whole Matthews-Marner era, in my opinion. I mean, the goaltending is just not there. The defense is absolutely awful. And they just don't match up well ever against Boston. So,
no.
Probably the worst matchup they could have had.
That's the problem. It's a bad matchup for them. And I was telling a friend of mine who's from Toronto, and he's a huge Leafs fan, and I told him, I'm like, this is a bad matchup for Toronto. Going against Boston was the wrong team to be facing.
Yeah,
it's defense versus offense.
And the problem is that like you could do all you want, but like Sheldon Keefe as an extension technically that hasn't even started yet. I know they're going to probably get rid of him anyways because they're rich and they don't care, but like that's a bad look. They just signed a terrible GM. That's a bad look. And, you know, there's not much that you can do other than, you know, get rid of the riffraff that they do every year and bring in more riffraff because you can't, you have no cap room. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Are you guys a little surprised at Tampa? The Tampa Florida series?
I
predicted Florida to win, but I thought Tampa would put up a bit more of a fight.
I think this is the sort of, if I equate it to like a boxing analogy, like this is that heavyweight champ that's sticking around just one or two fights too long and you're starting to see it now. Like, I just don't think they're that team anymore. They have really good players. Obviously, Kucherov was the best player in the league. Vasilevskiy is still a very, very good goalie, although I do think he's taken a step back. You know, they lost Sergachev for a very long time there. And he miraculously comes back after 80 days out with that crazy injury. So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a huge difference maker, but yeah, I'm not overly surprised by that one.
Okay. No, I guess it's just me. I'm a little surprised. And Vegas, that comment you said about Vegas, they're like that team that, you know, hacks the system. You know, they just
it doesn't change the fact that they're good. It doesn't change, and it's
they are a good team. You know what it is also when it comes to Vegas, and you look at that, they have that player that's the guy. You know, they have a Jack Eichel, they got a Mark Stone that could take over a game. They've got, you know, Pietrangelo there and Shea Theodore. They got players that could take over a game, and sometimes all those players take over at the same time. So
they're built for the playoffs, man. The way they are.
That's an interesting thing, and I don't want to deviate too much because I'll tell you my things too, but there's an analogy that's out there that there are guys that get you to the playoffs and there are guys that get you through the playoffs. And if you have a healthy balance of the two, your team's going to go very far. And unfortunately, teams like the Leafs right now, they get you to the playoffs. Those guys, you can't say nothing about it. Go ask any team in the league, any fan. You can say as much as you like, and you hate Austin Matthews and you hate Tell me you wouldn't want Matthews on your team. Tell me you wouldn't want Marner with his whiny antics, apparently, that are being displayed on national television on your team. These are great hockey players. The difference is you built a team with all guys who get you there, and you have no guys on that team that get you through the playoffs. They thought by adding the kind of, I want to say, robustness of, but it ended up being more, they got goons of the versions of Max Domi, of Tyler Bertuzzi, Reeves.
But those guys work. Bertuzzi and Domi, perfect. If they don't play on the first line, it's crazy.
Well, they're putting them in the wrong spots. Crazy. They're taking bad penalties. I mean, Max Domi has skill. We saw what he did here. I mean, there is a skill in him that he can put up points. It's just he has embraced full goon mode there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the point is, I don't want to talk about the Leafs too much, but my point was that team and other teams are not built correctly. And you do need a healthy balance of the two. And the Vegas build, minus the whole cap circumvention thing, of course, but they're built that way. They got guys that are workhorses that get you there. And then you got guys with the skills, like Vito mentioned, that elevate in playoffs. And that's what makes them so dangerous.
Well, I'll say this about Toronto. If they do get eliminated next game, they're one of the if you want to call them the core four or that four-headed monster that they have in Toronto, one of them are gone. This offseason, one of them are gone.
Did we say that last year?
No, but it's going to happen.
Did we say that before?
It's going to happen because they can't keep rolling this way, but it's going to happen. You're going to have to use...
The problem is they have no trade clauses, man. And like, if you're Mitch Marner, you want to look to be the guy who gave up on Toronto and moved away. Like, he's loving it there. He's got all the sponsorships, all the things. Like, why would he ever
move there?
John Tavares? That's his boyhood dream. Why would he want to get out of there? None of these guys are going to want to leave. That's the problem. That's the main
Austin
problem.
Matthews.
Obviously, you could convince it somewhere. There's ways to do it, but it's going to be a lot harder than just saying, like, one of them are gone. That's it.
Oh, Matthews doesn't even have a hometown team to go back to anymore.
I will say that, well, there's places
close by. I wanted to go there.
Anyways, I'm just saying. I don't want to talk about the Leafs too much. I don't want to get off the track too much. I know we can do a whole podcast about the Leafs, but that's not what we're about here. What I'll tell you is, obviously, the least surprising for me was, like you mentioned, was the Washington-New York series. I thought that was going to be an absolute blowout for New York, and it was. So that's an easy giveaway. What I'm most surprised about was Dallas. I really, really, really thought that Dallas was going to put up a bigger fight. I thought yeah, could they lose the series? Sure. I had them in six. This is what I put down. I thought that given that Vegas went all the way last year, they'd be a little bit more tired, a lot more miles on their guys, even though they brought in a bunch of fresher faces. It's still a lot of minutes. Mark Stone, you know, could he get hurt immediately again after coming back? Who knows? I thought there'd be more of an offensive grouping like they do. Cause I think Dallas was unique in a sense that they had the most guys who scored over 20 goals on their team. Like they were definitely a group effort, and they're not there. I don't know what it is. And to your point, are they pretender series? Yeah, it could be.
They're different this year. Even Robertson had a down year in comparison to the last year, and that was expected. I mean, he posted up huge numbers last year, but even his goal totals, he's been a 40 goal scorer. He didn't even hit 30 this year.
It's a weird team. I don't know. We don't get a lot of Dallas in our market here. You got to go by what you read and catch the occasional game. I mean, I just kind of expected, yeah, perhaps if they got another team other than Vegas in the first round, things might be a little different. But winners have to win, and you have to go through Vegas eventually. So now, later, it wouldn't matter. I'm a little bit surprised. Obviously, like you mentioned, in Winnipeg, I kind of knew that I expected Colorado to beat them. There's just something about this Winnipeg team. I don't know. It's not that I dislike them, and they got Monahan and Toffoli, and I love those guys. And so I was kind of half sort of on the, okay, go.
Oh, on paper, it looked like it. On paper, it looked like they were, you know, just, what? I expect them to win.
I don't know, man. There's just something about them. And the Hellebuck thing is just surreal. It's just truly surreal. Guy is probably going to win the Vezina. And what is this? What is happening in this playoff series?
They're also playing Colorado, guys. Like, it's not as if they're playing some scrub, right? Colorado's a good team.
They're a good team. They're
cup contenders. Like, I don't know. To me, it's like, I think you could look at it and be like, you're disappointed in Winnipeg. But again, it's one of those teams that I think is one of those teams that you're going to have to see them finish this way every single year, and eventually they're going to get it together in the playoffs. You know, that it's usually how it works. It takes a couple of runs with a very good team in the playoffs to get it going, and I think this is what you're going to see with Winnipeg.
It's interesting to see. We'll see what happens with the rest of it. The next time we get together, we'll probably be in the second round, so we'll see how the end of these series plays out and what's happening then, which leads into the next thing I want to ask you guys. There's four major things that are going to be coming up, but switching back gears to the Canadians now, and I'm curious what you're most excited for. Okay, you don't have to put them in order, just what is the most exciting thing to you? Is it the draft lottery that's occurring on May 7th to see where the Canadians land? Is it the draft itself, draft day? Is it the signings that they might do, or is it the trades that they're very likely going to do?
All right, well, for me, it's the trade. I mean, like, look, the draft lottery is a lottery. I mean, it's fun, obviously, but like, looking for it's obviously like a break in the nothingness that's going on with the Canadians right now. So yeah, it's kind of like, hey, you get a chance to watch them. It's exciting, but I mean, most likely nothing's going to happen there. So you just kind of move on. The draft is fun, but again, you know, we kind of know going into the draft what's going to happen, who they're going to pick, and it doesn't, you know, it won't affect the team for probably a bit. So to me, it's the trades, right? Like, free agency is not that exciting this year either. There's not too many great players available. So to me, it's, I want to see what Ken Hughes is going to do now. And is he going to stick to the script and wait it out a little bit? Or did he see something in his team and he's going to make a move? Or is he going to try to make a move preemptively, even if they don't plan on contending this year? I mean, I'm arguing always that you can't just wait until you're ready to contend. Because
your mic is rubbing on your... Sorry to
pitch.
I thought it was his pet duck.
But yeah, so it's to me, like, you can't wait to the last minute to try and make those moves, because then you're pigeonholed into, like, everybody knows what you want. And I think you have to go make these moves now. Even if your plan is not to contend this year, you have to look at what's out there. So I'm really interested to see what Ken Hughes is going to do for the trades. Like, I think this is the time to make a move. So we're going to see if that happens.
Right on.
I would say for me, it's probably it's two things. You said signing free agency, but there's also RFAs. So we got Slav and Jack Eye. Well, more Jack Eye, who's an RFA and needs a contract. And I want to know what's going to happen with him.
That's your most exciting thing of the offseason.
The most?
I was gonna say, the most. No, but it's like second. The draft. The draft is probably for me because I find everything happens there. It's who are they gonna draft, and who they draft will ultimately depend too on what move they'll likely make and what additions they're gonna make to the roster. But at the same time, it's all tied together. So it's hard to like pick one.
I'm not
thing.
Saying you're not excited about all of them. I'm saying what are you most excited about?
I want to see who they're drafting this year. I want to know if they're actually going to draft a forward or if they're gonna go, you know, best player available, even if it happens to be a defenseman. Are they gonna trade down? Are they gonna trade up? Like, there's some excitement there with the draft. There really, really is. And especially, like, once it gets to them, if they're still, you know, if they stay at five, then are they going to pick that forward that's going to be there? It, you know, is Demidov going to drop? There's some excitement for me there. It's the draft.
I mean, I think that's legitimately fair. I mean, there's no wrong answer to this. Again, every bit of the four things I mentioned are all going to be exciting. And when and eventually every one of those things happens, it's going to be exciting for the fan base. I don't know why, but for me, it's the draft lottery day.
Well, I know why.
About that, that's just so, like, for that, like, whatever it is, when they get to the top, whatever, the top five, and it's like that 20-second period with Daly there flipping those boards, it's just, it gets your heart pumping, man. It's like there's that chance. There's that chance that he flips five and it's not the Canadians, and then your mind goes nuts. You're like, oh my God, we're top one too. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And that moment is probably a higher high than all the other ones, even though the other ones are more important.
But you said it. You said it there, and that's what I was going to add to it before. Yeah. Like you said, it was the fact that the chance of winning the number one spot and not being there, like Montreal, when they drafted Slav, it was projected they were likely going to be first overall. It was in the story. That's what it is. They had to lose. This is, you're actually winning
to
move up.
You can win it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, if we're watching that whole lottery draft, if Montreal doesn't appear at five, you're holding your breath.
Well,
and then all of a sudden, if they show up at one, I'm probably buying a Macklin Celebrini jersey.
Now, bear in mind,
Celebrini, whatever.
Bear in mind, if they open seven, and you see the Habs, it's like a gut punch. Because then they move back to, and that means like Seattle flew up and got the, like, it's something nuts like this. So I don't know. To me, that moment, that day.
If anybody's going to move up, if you're one of those conspiracy theorists, if anyone's going to move up, it's going to be Utah.
So, okay, perfect. Perfect pivot because this, I want to talk about this. I'm not here to rip on Arizona, and it sucks. And being from a city that lost a professional team, I have no joy in it. Did they deserve to be gone? Absolutely. They did. But I sympathize with the fan base in Arizona without question. That said, do you guys believe now with Alex Smith and the new ownership of this Utah team, who apparently has outright said, we're spending, we're making splashes. Does that change the dynamic of this offseason a little bit or
100%, dramatically? 100%. Now, is it going to change for the Montreal Canadiens? To be determined. But when you have a new team like that, with a new mindset, with all the picks that they have, they can make splashes and they can go and acquire players that you'd probably scratch your head about, or they could acquire players and say, wow, we didn't see that coming. There's a lot of teams that are going to be out of the playoffs soon or didn't make it that are going to need, that have traded a lot of their draft picks over the years, that are going to need some draft picks, and they might be willing to wheel and deal with Utah. You know, so it adds a whole different dynamic. Before, when it was the Arizona Coyotes, we're like, okay, who's getting dumped on their roster?
Yeah.
That's what you had to look at. You looked at the Arizona roster and you're like, okay, their Shea Weber's contract is still there, but, you know, they had the Datsuks and the Hossas and all that stuff that have passed over the years, and now they need to add more players to hit the draft floor. Now you have this new owner that comes in and says, we don't care about the draft floor. We're going to spend. We're going to see what we can get. We're going to add to the team. It does. It adds another potentially very active general manager, a very active ownership group, and the last team, that one of the last expansion teams to come into the NHL, which was Vegas, they said the same thing. They were going to be aggressive, and you know what? They've been aggressive from day one. And they have made exciting moves.
Yeah, but there's an expansion team after Vegas that's not quite the same.
No, but they also made the playoffs very soon after they joined the NHL. So they've been doing quite well. And while during their expansion draft, other teams learned, clearly. They learned
on the after.
It was soon after, so they kind of knew what not to do after the Vegas expansion draft. And you know what? You look at that, Seattle still had some success. They still got some good promising players there and still had a playoff run to give their fan base some entertainment along the way. So all that to say, and now you have somebody like in Utah that's saying, we're going to spend. Yeah, it does change the whole dynamic because you're going to see certain players, even if they do have a high cap, going probably that way just to, one, hit the floor, but two, to add a different dynamic to that roster. They got to attract people there. Like, they sold their tickets and all that stuff, but they got to put something on the ice that's going to be a product that's going to be entertaining as well. And right now, the current roster, that's the former Arizona Coyotes, is not exciting enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. There's obviously going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of moves. Like, Vegas example is very, very good because Vegas came in and they seemingly get everybody all the time. You know, every time
they trade all their firsts.
Yeah. And every time there's a big move to be made, it's Vegas is in on it. And whenever there's a big player available, Vegas is in on it. And they actually land them. Jack Eichel. They make it happen, right? It's not they got Pietrangelo. They're a big mover. So that's another person that a contender has to contend with. That, like, you, okay, now this team, you never have to worry about Arizona someone sneaking off to Arizona, right? Like, Arizona was the last case scenario for a lot of players in terms of free agency. I'm sure players vetoed trades to there. I'm like, it was a last thought organization. And now all of a sudden, I mean, who knows? It still has to play out. I'm sure there's a lot of players who are still going to be iffy about going to Utah. I'm sure there's a lot of players who aren't sure. But at that being said, maybe not in free agency, but trade moves and stuff like that. Like, I think it's going to be interesting to see where he puts his if he puts his money where his mouth is, and if things move. But and if it does, it absolutely changes the landscape of the NHL because it's just another team with the means to do something, which is ideally what you want. You want 32 teams who have the means to do things all the time. And that's what you should be striving for if you're Gary Bettman, instead of these teams that are no man's lands, that are just salary cap dumps and this and that. I mean, so it makes the NHL more exciting. I'm all for it. It'll make things a little bit more difficult for the other GMs too along the way.
Which is a great thing for the upcoming offseason. And in particular, it reminds me that while the same management is there, it's the same GM, it's the same coach, it's the same everybody. When you have an owner who's he's a younger guy, I don't know how heavily involved he's going to be, but he wants, like Vito and like you suggested, you know, you want the product to be exciting. It's a new team. You want people to show up. And it makes me wonder, when he says splash and stuff, you know, is he prepared to change the entire face of that team? Like, I'm not saying he's looking to go and trade Logan Cooley because he's just drafted. He's a high draft pick. But a guy like, for example, Clayton Keller, who would be coveted by other teams and has been on the Arizona Coyotes for a long time, are you prepared to ditch him out to go and get something else to start making your new mark, the new team?
I don't know about moving Clayton Keller, but he'll have to make moves because every owner, general manager, whomever, when they take over a team, they want to put their stamp on that team. So especially, like, we're talking about when it's a general manager that's being hired, it's one thing. When it's a whole ownership, and it's a whole new city, it's a whole new everything. That's like, right now, no matter how you spin it, it's Arizona's team. You put a different label on it, but it's Arizona's team. They're gonna want to make moves that's gonna look and say, this, we're embarking on this journey. This is the next, you know.
I only mention it because you got to give to get in all scenarios. And to your point, they have a lot of draft picks, and I for sure expect them to trade some of those picks to bring in players. But at the same time, they have guys there that have been there for a while that are, you know, we'll call them decent. And then you have like one or two that sit at the top that are actually really good players. I mean, the fact that you have a guy on that team like Keller who put up the numbers he puts up on the abysmalness that was that team. I mean, you could see teams out there being like, listen, I'm going to pay a lot for him. It'll jumpstart you in Utah. You could do this, that.
And they'll likely do it. And especially if it's a person for a player that's also more marketable than Keller, then they'll do it. There's a marketing aspect to all of this, too. There's a marketing angle. There's an off-ice angle to this when it comes to Utah as well. Is Keller the guy that they could literally put as the face of that franchise and make him basically the market.
It just makes me wonder. I think about it from a perspective. I'm curious to know, in the ownership's mindset, do they view this as like, hey, we're a brand new team, we're like an expansion team where first round picks are what we covet, or are they looking to be like, we had a team, not great, lot of holes, but the holes that could be solved by money, which the former ownership didn't want to do, we can do, and they kind of bolster it that way. That's what I'm curious to know, what they're looking to do.
It wouldn't surprise me. Here, this would be my bold take. It wouldn't surprise me if they put depending what happens with the lottery draft, if that first round pick for this year is available. It wouldn't surprise
me. It's the one way to make a splash right now, pretty much. Yeah. Is to move something like that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I again, Clayton Keller, you can move them all you want, but like their roster is so bad that like they don't have much on there. So like, why not keep? You have other assets in terms of draft picks and other ways to get it than to deal Clayton Keller out of there. Although who knows, like his motivation right now on being on that team. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think they'll be probably leaning more towards making a splash than not. And I think that that's what they're going to go for. You know, I think that maybe you see that pick moved. If not, you'll see some other deals down the road.
Hey, you know, I'm just connecting dots here, but use some young prospect defense and a first round pick for a star player. I think Toronto Maple Leafs could use a situation like that.
I mean, to be honest, when you're looking at Mitch Marner play and you're shipping him out, like that would be but Mitch Marner will not waive his no trade clause to go to Utah. I'm telling you right now, I don't see it happening.
I don't see that happening either.
But ideally, if you're the Leafs, that'd be goldmine. If you could move him and get some good defensive help and good picks and kind of, you know, extract a lot from Utah, it would be amazing. But I just don't see it happening.
I'm just looking at their team right now.
It's awful.
I mean,
it's like the Canadians. It's like in terms of like point getters and stuff like that, it's like very early 2000s Canadians.
It's very bad.
What you have to look at when it comes to, I was about to say Arizona, but Utah is when you're looking on cap friendly, for example, look at that block where you see the number of picks over the next 3 years. That's the most exciting part of that roster.
Well, it's but hear me out about this, and I'm not trying to take a pessimistic view just because of who they are. Yes, they have 3 picks in the second round next year, 4 picks in the second round the year after, and 3 picks in the second round the following year. Do second round picks hit? They hit. They do, but the odds of them hitting are very low. Now, they got a lot more darts to throw at the board. It gives them a greater chance.
The next two drafts are pretty, like, the one
but
coming
their
up.
Their second-round picks. I'm just saying their second-round picks. Now, they'll probably be high second-round picks because they're probably going to be terrible. So that does help the cause a bit. But at the end of the day, I got it imprinted in my brain mostly, minus remembering the percentages. But Brian Wilde's chart that he always shows about the percentages of NHL making it versus stars versus just barely getting it. You get to that second round, your probability of making and actually being an NHL regular, forget being a star, just an NHL regular, is like incredibly low. So they need first rounders. They need first rounders. Could they package a bunch of these picks and start moving up? Maybe. Could they do? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. They have no active player minus Clayton Keller that has any value. They're not trading Logan Cooley. That's not happening. They have nobody playing defense. I don't even know. They have no goaltending. Their prospect pool, I recognize a couple names, but it ain't great. And you're not looking to trade prospects if you're building up they literally have nothing. All they have is their picks. That's it. And the ability to take in cap. That's all they have.
Well, that's where they're going to have to get creative. And I think, you know, you said it. They're not going to trade Logan Cooley. Again, I don't think they'll trade Clayton Keller. You have to add to this roster, not subtract or exchange, right? So, like, you have to kind of get creative in the way you're going to do things. And I think that you can add cap is one way of doing it. and also, you know, the draft picks. You know, second round draft pick, you're right about the odds, but they're still assets in today's NHL, right? At the trade deadline, who's looking, well, you know,
they're
looking
trading for second those round picks. Yes, yeah, they're trading those picks.
Even if it's for players that are to some teams, it would be considered a quote unquote cap dump, but for them, it's actually a serviceable player that could, you know, NHL body that they could put right away that could produce. They're going to do those types of moves. That's how they're going to have. That's how Vegas did a lot of the moves too at the beginning too, is they went and get some players that teams were looking and say, oh, okay, here, take this, we don't care. But then look at them once they got to Vegas, you know, they got into the hype, they went to that run. It's like, there's going to be some players that you're going to look, most likely look and say, what the heck is Utah doing going to grab this player? And they're just, it's going to work for them because that's what they need. They need an NHL product to put on the ice now.
It's going to be fascinating to see for sure. And I expect there's going to be some trade days, trades to occur, and there's going to be a lot of stuff. And I want to pivot back, because speaking of trade day scenarios, there is one that I want to talk to you guys about right before we end here that involves the Canadiens. I'm shamelessly taking this from X Twitter. It's a user. His name is Dennis Pettigrew. You can find him at Dennis P MTL. And I don't know if he listens or not. And if you do, I thought this was fantastic. So good for you for coming up with this one. It's a trade scenario that all these trade scenarios on social media are normally so bad, but this one I read and I read twice and I said, you know what? Maybe here it is. San Jose wins the lottery. Okay. They have the best odds. Let's say they get Macklin. Gross. That's a foregone conclusion. They get Macklin. Okay.
Disgusting.
The Habs stay at 5. For whatever reason, after Macklin, every other team takes a forward. They just do. Which means at 5, technically speaking, the best player available would be the best defensive prospect in the draft. It's a scenario that could occur. And so we all know what happened last year when Montreal took a defenseman. Now we have the same scenario again. And what would you think if they got creative and they call up San Jose? Kent Hughes calls up San Jose and say, hey, congratulations on Macklin. That's wonderful for you. Great. Listen, we're sitting at 5. We're on the clock. Best player available is a defenseman. You guys need defense too. We know you do. We're full. Everybody knows we're full. We'll trade you 5. Give us Will Smith. Kent Hughes knows Will Smith.
I mean,
he knows him from last year. It was likely his guy last year, but he got picked. Now you look at it and say, the top 4 guys picked in this draft are all forwards. So by 5, who's left? Could there still be an Iginla? Yes. Could there still be a Katten? Yes. Did Yzerman fall out of favor? Is he technically possibly still there? Yes. But they're all below the best player available, who's a defenseman. Is Will Smith better than those guys? San Jose sits back and says, you know, we really like Will Smith, but we just got Macklin. And you're looking to give us the best defenseman in this draft too. I mean, it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. It's wacky as hell, but I don't hate the idea. I mean, you know what? Credit to that person on X who came up with that, because it is crazy to think of. And
I really like the trade.
I like it. It's definitely a conversation piece. Do I think it happens? No, I don't think it happens. But go ahead, Dave.
It's the type of deal you're never going to see happen, because players, organizations, they researched Will Smith. They met with Will Smith. They invested in Will Smith. They drafted Will Smith. And it's the type, you know, you're not ready to move on from him without ever seeing him play. It's just, you're asking for a disaster if Will Smith turns out to be an absolute superstar. It's a trade that could potentially benefit both teams. Absolutely. It could absolutely work for both teams, but it's a risk. It's a risk that I don't think San Jose is ever going to take. I think that, you know, you're not right now, if they get Celebrini, that's a 1-2 punch down the middle. I don't think they're going to be bad next year. They'll be able to draft a defenseman probably in next year's draft, most likely. I just, in my opinion, it's a trade that works well. It's clever. It's smart. It makes sense. It's a trade you very, 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 very rarely see in the NHL. The only trade I could ever think of happening like that was Rick DiPietro, who was drafted by the I mean, it was Roberto Luongo, drafted really high by the Islanders, and they fell in love with DiPietro, so they traded Luongo away in a disaster of a trade. Of a trade. But that's literally off the top of my head, that's what I thought of, is do you want to do that? And I don't see a team. I mean, again, they met with Will Smith. He's their guy. They drafted him. They've been developing or whatever, probably watching him every single day, how he develops. I don't know if they're ready to part with him. So in the end, it's a trade that makes sense, but it's a trade that you're never going to see, in my opinion.
I mean,
you're never going to see it. But honestly, I give credit to that person to come up with something that clever, and especially when you connect the dots, Will Smith to Montreal with Kent Hughes and all that, and the fact that last year, if Will Smith was available at five, he was definitely going to be the player taking over.
It was his guy, right?
And it didn't work out that way. And they got Reinbacher. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Reinbacher and all that. But that's a different conversation. Now, the question is, would I do that move if I'm Kent Hughes? I still have trouble answering it. Because I feel like this... I think I would do it. However... If the plan is to get Will Smith and he plays right away, I don't think he's going to play right away next season, and that's still not what exactly Montreal needs right now. And they're still going to have to wait a few years before he gets there and blah, blah, blah. But he does check a certain box more than what Montreal needs, especially if it's a third defenseman.
Also, from a San Jose perspective, last year, they could have had the best defenseman of the draft. You know what I mean? Like, technically last year, you know what I mean? Like they had the choice. They didn't have to draft Will Smith. They chose Will Smith. Obviously, it was the right choice, but I'm
you
just
don't
saying.
Know. You, no one knows what's happening. Maybe after the year that happened, I mean, who knows? Now, Will Smith took off in his league, and it does look like he's going to be a really good player. It's just a scenario that's out there. I mean, I'm saying one for one. Maybe Kent Hughes says, "Listen, Mike, I'm open. You want more? I'll give you more."
Well, like the draft pick and another defenseman because we have too many.
Who knows? Hey, Mike. I really like Will Smith. I like Will Smith a lot. Like, a lot. I know you like Will Smith. You just got Macklin, though. That's going to soften the blow a little bit, right? Take my five. You interested in 23, too?
And Harris, come on.
I'll give you 23 also. I'm not saying I would. You'd have to really think about it. But, I mean, if he really wants it, if this ends up playing out, where they have contingencies for every kind of scenario that breaks down. If they stay at five and they're like, okay, well, if all these four guys are gone, we'll likely have this guy. Or these four guys, I'll go this guy. If it's all forwards, and I don't believe the top four will all be forwards, but still, if they're all forwards and truly the best player is a defenseman, the best guy left is a defenseman, and it falls on them again. With what's happening, I can't see them doing it. I could see them either attempting a trade or going with another forward.
I think you're gonna have the people listening to this and whoever ends up tuning in and whatever, they'd rather see Montreal trade that fifth and something else or other pieces to move up than to trade for Will Smith.
I don't think they're moving up.
I think Will Smith would be a great addition to the Canadiens.
Oh, it would be.
It's one of those deals. It's never gonna happen. It's fun to speculate about. It's fun to what
if it does happen, if it were to happen, first off, that guy on X needs to be bookmarked and brought up. It'll have to be brought up every
day. Well, you'll put his name in the description. You should go check him out. It just popped up on my feed. And when I read it, I said, I have to talk to you guys about this because legitimately you read so many of these armchair GMs on social media and the things they come up with. Like recently, since Marner's antics, the trade packages people are coming up with for Marner out there. Dear God. Like, what do you think you're talking here? To put pen to paper and actually press enter with some of these trade packages, I'm just amazed. But I saw this. I said, you know what? It's wild, but it's possible. And when you connect those dots and you look back with what Kent Hughes really wanted and how he knows the player and how he's seeing what's available in this draft, and that's not the takeaway. Maybe they really, really like one of the guys that are going to be available at five and whatever. Okay, get your guy. You done your scouting. You know what's up. Maybe it's not worth the trade and what you extra have to give to go get him. But if your heart is set on certain guys and they're all gobbled up and what happens if they fall back? one or two spots. What happens? Like, how much more incentive do they have at that point to now try to trade that pick and do something crazy? I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of fun that's going to happen. I think without question, you're going to see Kent Hughes make some trades on the draft floor. I think without question, that's
going to happen. Okay, so let me ask a question on that one. Yeah. Just one player. One player. We've mentioned this player during this episode. Dave, Matt, if you're Kent Hughes, would you trade for Clayton Keller?
Yes.
Yes, it just depends on what you're going to give up for him.
Yes.
I wouldn't overpay for Clayton Keller.
You wouldn't overpay. Okay.
I'm not absolutely in love with Clayton Keller. I'm not absolutely in love with Clayton Keller.
I know Matt's always liked Clayton Keller.
I like the player a lot.
I think he's a bit overrated because of what he is.
Fair. I like the player a lot. I don't know if I would supremely overpay, but I would definitely do what I can do to try to acquire Clayton Keller. There's always in the back of my mind, particularly about this Arizona team, where you looked at Dvorak and they made that deal for Dvorak, and you're like, oh, Dvorak was like a 45-point center there. Imagine on the Canadiens what he could be. And then he stayed literally the exact same. If that is the same thing with Clayton Keller, you're still bringing in an 80-plus point player, which would be the top of this team. But if he's able to come here and play with better players and actually take that next spot, then who knows what you get? I like Clayton Keller a lot. I do. I would do what I can do to get him. I wouldn't trade the world, but I would definitely do a really, really considerable package to make them think about it. Yeah.
Interesting.
I would.
All right.
I would.
I mean, look.
And now we want to know what you guys think. Would you trade for Clayton Keller? Let us know in the comments and what you're prepared to give up. In addition to that, we'd also like to know, what are you most excited for? Is it the draft lottery? Is it the draft itself? Is it the trades to come? Is it some signings that might happen? You can put them in order if you want to, or you can just straight up tell us and let us know what you think in your mind would be most exciting. We're always interested to see that. And I think we'll wrap this up here. Thanks everybody for tuning in and listening. We'll definitely try to get another one of these out. It's always hard with our schedules, guys. I know we're a little bit erratic these days, but such is life. So we'll try to get another one here sometime next week, so we can talk about what's been happening with the playoffs again, and discuss our next predictions for round two. We'll get those out on social media before round two actually starts, so you can at least see that there, and we can talk about it on the next podcast. Otherwise, anything else, gents? Little good finishing words? No, just a bunch great of head shakes. Your
faces again.
Good seeing your faces. And thank you everybody for tuning in and listening. And as always, please, if you haven't, like, subscribe, you know the whole jam. We appreciate you. We love you. For Vito, Dave, I'm Matt, and this was Get Pucked.